Andrew Schneider on KNIA KRLS Radio here with Chris Cuellar. He's the Director of Communications for the Iowa High School Athletic Association as we are on the dawn of the new fall season after another fun year of academics and athletics across South Central Iowa and our region. And Chris, some big news items as we head into the fall, directly relating to the fall of 2025 and beyond. Let's start there. It was a joint statement with the Girls Union and the Boys Association that there will be two new fall sports. And I know that there's been some social media pushback. I know there's also been some possible benefits discussed. Let our listeners know behind the decision to move girls tennis and, in your case, boys golf to the fall.
Great question. Good to talk to you as always, Andrew. It is the big topic for the last couple weeks in our office and really is something that's been discussed for the past couple of years. We have heard, I guess, since the announcement, we've heard from kind of, you know, all sides of the equation, whether that's, you know, student athletes, schools, administrators, parents, golf courses, coaches, any and all of the above. And, you know, all the feedback is there for the reading, for the parsing. And I think what we've kind of taken away is that, you know, a lot of people are seeing it through their school specific lens, which is how we deal with a lot of our postseason problems. As over the course of the past couple of years, as you and I have had these conversations, you know, it is the most common way that we get questions and hear things is through one school's lens. But these have been conversations for the last couple of years. And honestly, the spring schedule congestion has been a topic for over 50 years, if you check back into our archives. So the goal was to reduce spring schedule congestion with the idea that across both boys and girls sports, we essentially had 8 sports taking place in the spring. And then when you add in baseball and softball overlapping, there were periods of time every single spring during graduations, awards, when everything else is taking place, that there are 10 sports in season or underway. And our schools had been requesting for years to kind of try to find some relief in that. Following surveys, district AD meetings, advisory discussions, AEA meetings, on and on. We came at the spot where both the Athletic Association and the Girls Union could come together and try to find a way to move a sport that would allow for the most opportunities and relief in the schedule. And, you know, we feel optimistic about what we've decided on. We feel optimistic about the opportunities it presents for the growth of other spring sports and for participation, you know, in those fall sports, acknowledging the challenges that might come about initially with coaches that might cross over sports, with student athletes that might cross over currently in current fall sports. Those were all considerations, but with all of our schools in mind, both big and small, every region of the state, you know, we feel pretty good about the decision.
Now, when I've heard these conversations, again, through the lens of either our coaches here, some officials, people we talk to when I'm at state meets, and for example, some of the conversation from a statewide perspective in all sports are challenges with coaching numbers and with officials and those kinds of things. It seems like the net benefit would be probably some of those concerns. Would that be fair, Chris, that when we're talking about the adults who support these programs, the sponsors, all the above, that the relieving the pressure in the spring may help in many ways because of the way you split it with boys golf and girls tennis? It may help with some of those other sports as well, but, and we'll talk about concerns in a second, but it seems like some of the benefit will be more adults potentially available for coaching and for officiating.
Yes, absolutely. That's a key bullet point that you're hitting on there, Andrew. You know, most of the states around us, 7 out of 9 separate golf for boys and girls, all 9 out of 9. If you include Kansas in this bunch, and a couple of the Dakotas, they all separate tennis. So making those coaches available, making those facilities available or more available, you know, golf courses will be more available for this selfishly on the Athletic Association boys golf side of things. You know, we think we're going to see really good golf and we think there's going to be less academic time missed because that season starts before school even begins. And we think everybody's going to be coming out of summer and playing really well and have some more course availability. Again, that's something that we've heard mixed things on depending on what conference or quarter of the state that you're in. But, you know, we're looking at this as a long-term upside.
Now, one of the main concerns we've heard, at least from our schools and some of the people here and seeing some of the social media conversation, would be smaller schools in particular, with football being such a dominant participation heavy sport, what's that going to do to boys golf? And I know you're not in the world of girls, but volleyball being kind of the same way, where volleyball is kind of the queen of all sports in Iowa high school. So what are some of the conversations that happened about that? And what are some of the ways the association and union will probably support our ADs and helping with some of those issues? There are dual sport athletes, of course, in the spring, but maybe a different ask with football and volleyball versus tennis, track, golf, and soccer.
Yeah, we knew football and volleyball, as you stated, were kind of similar in that, as you know, key participation linchpins and time commitments and roster sizes can be large. We're also fortunate at both the Girls Union and the Athletic Association to have numerous former and recent athletic directors on staff who can provide their insights and also connect us with athletic directors across the state. And what we ended up discussing was just the I guess it's a little bit of a false equivalent to say that no one can be a dual sport athlete when they do multiple sports at any other time, or that it doesn't open opportunities, that it's killing a certain sport. You know, we think that it opens up those opportunities and that it's manageable on both sides of the fence. You know, and there might be tough conversations and tough choices to make, both for student athletes and for schools, about what those programs look like going forward. We acknowledge that that might be part of the process, and we're going to be part of that process with our schools. But, you know, how many, on the boys' side of things, does this open up more opportunities for somebody to play tennis and golf, or soccer and golf, or track and golf when they may not otherwise have, or now, you know, to maybe participate in this sport or consider something else? So, again, we're looking at it as a long-term upside, and we think that, you know, most of our schools already do a very good job of, you know, supporting student athletes who can and will play in multiple sports.
Here with Chris Cuellar, he is the communications director for the Iowa High School Athletic Association, as we talk ahead of the fall season. And we'll talk more about some of the quote-unquote smaller changes to multiple sports here in a second. But I think there's kind of the big rumor in the room when we talk, and for those who are joining us, we're talking here about the move of boys golf and girls tennis to the fall. The big rumor, I think, and the one that's hanging out there is that, well, this is the end, the eventual end, or leading to the end of summer sports in Iowa, where baseball, softball would join the rest of the country, right, and move back to the spring. What kinds of conversations are you privy to share about that possibility? Was that even considered with this?
Oh, wow, Andrew. Wow. Yeah. No.
Okay.
No, that is no. Our membership survey was pretty clear on this, that our schools pretty overwhelmingly like where baseball and softball are in the calendar. You know, we've put those tournaments right up against the fairly new family week, and they have worked pretty well. No, there are no discussions at this time to permanently move up baseball or softball or get them out of the summer. That is. Those discussions are not taking place.
I'm glad that we can clarify that for our listeners, and hopefully others may be listening from around the state to the podcast. So the other side of this coin then, too, with baseball, I know you haven't maybe come up with decisions yet, but there are some news items that I know that on your site, through some podcasts this fall, people should tune in. Not about the move of baseball, as we just clarified, but certainly finding a venue for the state tournament and some other rule changes that are coming up. There will be a lot of discussion about baseball from the association and official communication this fall, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's obviously our hope, considering it affects this, you know, 24-25 school year. But the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the site of our 3A, 4A state tournament just a few weeks ago, they are not available for the current week of our state tournament. So we are yet again in a mode of trying to find a solution for those games and for that tournament. And you know, the goal is to not try to change the entire schedule to affect only a handful of schools, but you know, we're doing our best to also try to find a state tournament worthy facility that is willing to have us. And when you put all those things in a bowl and try and stir it around, you just don't wind up with that many places. So we're working through where and, you know, when that might look like. But, you know, we're hoping to have some clarity here in the next couple of weeks.
So let's talk on top of the main news that you had mentioned and was announced just a few weeks ago about the change of fall sports, spring to fall sports. Current sports that are upcoming, there will be some rule tweaks, and those are always fascinating conversations. Football itself really not changing much this year because we're in year two of that district cycle, but a lot of focus on the others. You know, it will be winter before we know it. I know it feels, you know, really nice here in the fall, but basketball, we'll start there. Closely guarded. I think as people are at games, they're used to the officials counting things off with the shot clock. That is changing, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so that counting to five that I think every fan likes to watch and see if every ref is counting the same or trying to define what they think closely guarded looks like, NFHS provided an adoption rule for states that had already adopted the shot clock, obviously Iowa, to get rid of that closely guarded rule and just, you know, utilize the shot clock as basically the metric for which, you know, somebody, an offense has to initiate play. So that was something that our staff was, the advisory committee was excited to hear that our staff supported, and then our board kind of pretty easily was able to say yay on that one as well.
And then another note here, as we look to the winter, not as much bowling participation in our area, but there is consideration, it sounds like, Chris, of maybe a potential split between boys and girls bowling.
Yeah, so that's more girls union initiated, but the goal is to kind of complement both, again, those crowded winter tournament schedules now that we both have wrestling, and allow for a little bit of growth in the bowling state tournaments, because if anybody has attended the individual and team state tournaments, it is a capacity crowd every single year. Like to the fire code level of a capacity crowd. So if there's an opportunity to kind of adjust when both boys and girls start and kind of stagger that, then it allows us to also stagger the postseasons and state tournaments and, you know, hopefully make a better postseason experience for everybody involved.
And we're circling back to golf, and no worries. It's still this spring coming up. We've got our golf season coming up this spring. But more state qualifiers, which I know is of interest. We've had a lot of state qualifiers from our area that will have a slightly better shot to get to state.
Yes. So the judgment was made as recommended by the advisory committee and then approved by our board to just allot a set number of schools advancing in each round. So for the smaller classes of golf are used to having sectionals and then districts and then state, and there was a provision in both sectionals and districts to basically take the top two or that host school if they were in there, so that, you know, you could be a third place team but you'd still qualify because the home school got first or second. So now the provision has been basically removed for that home course advantage, and now it's just top three. The district hosts and the state tournament hosts will know exactly how many state tournament teams are coming. So obviously for state, it'll be 12. And then in addition, those individual qualifiers. So, we think that'll help establish a little better and easier format at all of those rounds, especially the ones that we don't administer. Maybe a little easier when the Athletic Association and Iowa PGA are running one tournament, a little bit bigger ask when you're an AD accepting a tournament at a host facility on a Tuesday afternoon and you're just given an odd number of teams. So,
and then last note, and this was actually a pretty important one, because the Pella girls tennis team won their state championship in a super tiebreaker. The boys would not have had that benefit, if I'm not mistaken. Now that will become uniform, it sounds like, between the sports, that there will be a super tiebreaker now in tennis as opposed to a third traditional set.
Yeah, the tennis advisory committee felt pretty strongly about trying to unify how boys tennis was scored across the individual, the singles and doubles tournament, and the team tournament, and then also the co-ed tournament. So, I think that will end up being a positive change, if only for players who can only have to remember one style from week to week once the postseason begins.
And it sounds like very quickly on that note, we mentioned tennis. What is right now discussions on the future of co-ed, knowing that the sports will now be split?
Great question. So the future hasn't been fully determined, but I can tell you that even when co-ed began 50 plus years ago, that they used to run it in the summer regardless. And, you know, 4A boys golf has been playing in the fall for 30 plus years, and they still participate in the co-ed tournament in the summer regardless. So I no full clarity yet, but the initial thoughts are that, you know, we don't see that it totally needs to change.
And then lastly, as we head into, by the way, we're here with Chris Quay, our director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association communications team. Lastly, we're heading into fall now. Football is going to be in its second rotation, as we mentioned, in the district. Cross country is going to be roaring up here soon. Of course, a lot of interest here locally with some of the recent success in South Central Iowa. Our teeth go straight into the rest of the year. Our 4A schools are playing golf again in the fall as well. Just your general thoughts about heading into the fall and things that our listeners should be paying attention to as they watch Iowa High School boys athletics.
I don't know if it's because you and I both have small children or if it's just the schedule or what, but it seems to be going by faster than ever. And this summer went by faster than ever, and now we are in full fall mode faster than ever. So as we're talking, there are week zero football games kicking off tomorrow, and we are preparing for week one and tracking scores and stats for hundreds of games across the state. We're excited. Golf's been underway for a handful of days. Cross country is going to get going next week. It is a busy and fun time of year. It definitely feels lively again after just a couple weeks of recovery and a little bit of downtime. So I'm hoping our schools and our student athletes feel the same way, and that there's kind of that buzz of fall going around. And I got to tell you, this nice breeze and some leaves changing doesn't hurt either. So our office is excited. We've got big changes underway and big projects ongoing. But we're excited for our schools to kind of get through this period and get around the state and see how some of this is going.
That's Chris Cuellar. He's the communications director with the Iowa High School Athletic Association, doing our typical chat that we have right before the fall season, obviously with some big news. Chris, I have a very good hunch that I'll be seeing you in Fort Dodge more than likely for the cross-country team. No reason why in particular, but certainly excited for the upcoming fall season, and hopefully I'll get to see you beyond the cross-country meet for some of our other schools. Appreciate your time.
Most definitely. Thanks, Andrew.